If you will repeat after me, Lord Jesus, I thank you for your word. And I thank you that my heart perceives what you're speaking to me this night in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to take you to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Those of you who are aware, we're getting closer and closer to the Feast of Tabernacles. And if you'll notice verse 1, it says, later on, there was a Jewish festival. The feast, in parentheses. And I'm using the Amplified tonight because there was a purpose. For which Jesus went up to Jerusalem. So that's why he's there. Verse 2 says, there in Jerusalem, a pool near the Sheep Gate. This pool in Hebrew is called Bethesda, having five porches, alcoves, colonnades, or doorways. In these lay a great number of sick folks, some blind, some crippled, some paralyzed, some shriveled up, waiting for the bubbling up of the water. There was a certain man there who had suffered with a deep-seated and lingering disorder for 38 years. When Jesus noticed him lying there, helpless, knowing that he had already been a long time in this condition, he said to him, "Do you want to become well? Are you really in earnest about getting well?" What is he doing? He's pondering his heart. Correct? The invalid answered, "Sir, I have nobody when the water is moving to put me into the pool. But while I am trying to get myself, somebody else steps down ahead of me."
Come on, Jesus. Tell
him. Jesus said to him, "Get up.
Come on.
Pick up your bed, your sleeping pad, and walk." Instantly the man became well and recovered his strength, and picked up his bed and walked. But that happened to be a Sabbath, or on a Sabbath. So the Jews kept saying to the man that had been healed, "It is the Sabbath, and you have no right to pick up your bed. It is not lawful." He answered them, "The man who healed me and gave me back my strength, he himself said to me, 'Pick up your bed and walk.'" They asked him, "Who is the man who told you, 'Pick up your bed and walk'?" Now the invalid who had been healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had quietly gone away, had passed on unnoticed, since there was a crowd in the place. I want you to stop there. If you recall, I said to you earlier that the Lord showed me back 18 years ago that the coming move of the kingdom of God would be having people doing incredible things for the Lord, and they would slip away. Mm-hmm. Is that a good example of what he did? Mm-hmm. And how he operated? Mm-hmm. Now, if you'll notice, he's been there 38 years. Did God get an SOS that day? What I'd like you to remember is that there's all kinds of paralyzed people that are there. The blind, some are crippled, some are paralyzed, some are shriveled up. How come he didn't set them all free?
He wasn't told to.
He was not told to. Did he have a vision that morning of the paralyzed man? Did he have a word of knowledge that you got to pick up your bed and you got to show them that you can walk? Even if it is the Sabbath day, you've got to make these people see what kind of people they really are. And I'm telling you to pick up your bed and do it. Even though It's not legal to do it that day. Like driving with a fancy little special thing on the windshield. And asking for grace. Yeah. See, I didn't set this up. The Lord did. Because again, you need to see how he operated to give you and I an example. I'm not saying he can't do it publicly, because he did when he was told to. And that's the secret. Some of you are so busy running around, you don't take time to listen.
Amen.
And when you don't take time to listen, how do you expect to have a download from heaven? Yeah. 3:15 this morning, I was up. The Lord told me to take Holy Communion because there were some things in my heart. I went back to bed. It was, I think, 4:15. I slept like a baby. Woke up, 8:15. Got up, made myself a cup of coffee. Irene and I had breakfast. But you see, there was a download. Because I took time. I did not set an alarm clock. But he knows how to wake me up. He also knows how to refresh me. I'm not tired today. I'm not wiped out. Years ago, if I had to get up at 3 and work for an hour or two, my body would pay a price. But he supplies all my needs according to his. Yeah, he knows how to take care of me. If he wanted me to have a vision of something, he would have given it to me because I gave him an opportunity. Yes?
Amen.
And do I recommend that you get up at 2:45? No, I'm not saying that at all. I am saying, however, as he leads, obey. Okay? Now, let's get back to the word. Verse 13, now the invalid who had been healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had quietly gone away, had passed on unnoticed, since there was a crowd in the place. Afterwards, when Jesus found him in the temple, he said to him, "See, you are well. Stop sinning or something worse may happen to you." So there's something going on in his life that he needs to change. That man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. Tattletale. For this reason, the Jews began to persecute, annoy, torment Jesus, and sought to kill him because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. Criticalness, fault finding, you name it, they had it. I can remember a person who had called on the prayer line years ago, finding fault with everything that was done at Grace Church of Christ. And my being angry didn't help. Because you see, now they can't get angry at Gino because he's gone with to be with the Lord. Verse 17. But Jesus answered them, "My Father has worked even until now." Meaning he's been healing for years and it doesn't matter if it's on the Sabbath. He is still working and I too must be at divine work. This made the Jews more determined than ever to kill him. To make away with him. Because he not only broke or weakened and violated the Sabbath, but he actually spoke of God as being, in a special sense, his own father. Making himself equal, putting himself on a level with God. Totally unacceptable in the Jewish mindset. Jesus answered them by saying, "I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, the Son is able to do nothing from himself, of his own accord. But he is able to do only what he sees the Father doing. Sees, if it doesn't have a circle around your Bible, you better put one there, because that's a vision. Sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does is what the Son does in the same way in his turn. So Papa does it first, the Son follows the example. There are times that you're going to have a nudge to do something and your brain is going to say, this is so stupid. But if you obey, you'll see the fruit and you'll be awed by the God that's helped you do it. And I'll be honest with you, there were times when I was pressed of God to do certain things. And I had an adversary. She's called a wife, who was very logical and still is. And she'd say to me, Kim, this is absolutely stupid. It's not going to work. And sometimes I felt like saying, get behind me, Satan. But I didn't. I was nice, but I did what the Lord told me anyway. Why? Because there are times that you got to stand your ground. And I'll tell you, it's not the people down the neighborhood that's going to tell you you're stupid. It's the one that's closest to you.
Amen.
Okay? And those are the ones that are going to laugh and giggle and might want you out of the way if they're officials. Okay? 20. The Father dearly loves the Son and discloses. I love this part. The Father dearly loves the Son and discloses or shows to him everything that he himself does. And he will disclose to him, let him see greater things yet than these, so that you may marvel and be full of wonder and astonishment. That's your future. Just as the Father raised up the dead and gives them life, makes them live on, so the Son also gives life to whomever he wills and is pleased to give it. Even the Father judges no one, for he has given all judgment, the last judgment, and the whole business of judging entirely into the hands of the Son. So the Son has the authority to judge. Why? Because he's lived in an earth suit. And he knows what hurts you, and he knows what will make you and I be receptive and receive the grace of God and the healing from God. 23. So that all men may give honor, reverence, and homage to the Son, just as they give honor to the Father. In fact, whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who has sent him. I assure you most solemnly, I tell you, the person whose ears are open to my word, who listens to my message and believes and trusts in and clings to and relies on him who sent me, has possessed now eternal life. And he does not come into judgment, does not incur sentence of judgment, will not come under condemnation. But he has already passed over out of death into life. Woo-hoo-hoo. He has already passed out of death into life. You know, before you are born again, your destiny is very dark. But when you're born of the Spirit and you believe what Jesus did for us, you are on an eternal journey, and it's not going to be haphazard. It's going to be full of life all the way into the victory that you have and that you are. And you know, I used to be afraid of death. Not anymore. Because dead or alive, I'm with him.
Amen.
Okay? Dead or alive, I'm with him. I'm not going to be separated from him. Believe me when I assure you. Most solemnly I tell you, the time is coming and it is here now, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. Woo-hoo. and those who hear it shall live. That means there's going to be a resurrection out of the grave. Some won't hear. Why? They're not of him. Correct. Exactly. Those that are his will hear. Kind of a cool confirmation, isn't it? 26. Even as the Father has life in himself and is self-existent, so he has given to the Son to have life in himself and be self-existent. I don't believe that that's ever been made so clear as when you see certain people preaching now that there is a special place in heaven for Jesus. He's at the right hand of the Father, but he's also much more than what he was while he was in the earth. And you see, he gave a complete vision to Peter, James, and John on the mountain, so you can prove that. And he was able to also say, if you put me in the ground like Jonah, I'm coming out. That's the sign. So, being self-existent, meaning that you can't put my lights out and get away with it. 27, and he has given him authority and granted him power to execute and exercise practice judgment because he is a son of man, very man. Do not be surprised and wonder at this, for the time is coming when all those who are in the tomb shall hear his voice. Is that clear enough? And they shall come out. Those who have practiced doing good will come out to the resurrection of the new life, and those who have done evil will be raised for judgment, raised to meet their sentence. And it's confirmed in Daniel 12:2. Verse 30, you should also have a circle around it. I am able to do nothing from myself independently, of my own accord. But as I am taught by God, and as I get his orders, I decide as I am bidden to decide. Watch carefully on the next part. As the voice comes to me, so I give a decision. Even as I hear, I judge, and my judgment is right, just, and righteous, because I do not seek or consult my own will. I repeat, I do not seek or consult my own will. I have no desire to do what is pleasing to myself. How clear do you get it? Selfishness is wiped away from the Son of God. He became totally submissive to his Papa. And that's my future. It's not all about how I can please myself, or how this I can be, or how that I can be, but it is all about how many little works or big works do you have prepared for me in the days ahead. I can remember a man of God saying to me, I live my life by the inside out. I listen to what my spirit says to do, and I do it as quickly as possible in order to get the next instruction. Because the direction comes from your spirit, not from your mind or your feelings or your emotions. Not that he wants to cancel those. It's not about canceling what you are. It is about renewing your direction. Now, Jesus is able to do nothing from himself. Do you think Adam could do anything on his own?
No.
No, you're absolutely right. Because Adam and Eve were spirit beings first. They were under the same direction of Jesus. They were the same way, open to everything Papa told them to do. And they talked to Papa every night. And they got their instructions for the next day. Until, you know, that wonderful serpent that came and just decided to test them. And they flunked the test. Especially Adam. He could have said, "Woman, get thee behind me." But he didn't. I think he was mesmerized by her beauty. Because I'm a man, I can say that. Overwhelmed. Infatuated. And the deception had to come from within him. So there was a weakness in him. But Jesus overcame every weakness. I teased the Lord one time and I told him, I said, "Is that why he didn't get married?" And he didn't respond. All teasing aside, it's okay to have fun once in a while with the Lord. It's okay for him to respond and sometimes say nothing, but you know what he's really saying. Cut it out. It's silly what you're doing. But the most important part out of all this . He's not doing his own will. I have no desire to do what is pleasing to myself, my own aim, my own purpose, but only the will and pleasure of the Father who has sent me. If I alone testify in my behalf, my testimony is not valid and cannot be worth anything. There is another who testifies concerning me, and I know, and I am certain that his evidence on my behalf is true and valid. Anybody know who that is? Holy Spirit. You yourselves have sent and inquired to John, and he has been a witness to the truth. But I do not receive a mere human witness. The evidence which I accept on my behalf is not from man. But I simply mention all these things in order that you may be saved, made and kept safe and sound, etc., etc. Basically, my motive tonight is to say to you, be sneaky like the Holy Ghost. Be obedient when he tells you something. If he gives you a strong nudge in your heart, do it. Even if you make a mistake, he'll still honor it because he knows your heart.
Yes.
And he knows the purpose of your heart. There was this one time that he sent me on a journey. And it was in my testing period. And I was being tested. And I knew it. And I went down this road and I went down that road. Turn here, turn there. I have no idea where I was. It was in Westfield somewhere. And I'm not familiar with Westfield, so I was in strange corners. I get to the end of the street, and it's a dead end. So I park, and I said, "Lord, what is this? What have you done?" He said, "You did what I told you to do, didn't you?" I said, "Yeah, but what is it that you want me to do?" So I wanted to see if you would obey. I wanted to see if you would obey. I said, "What am I doing here?" He says, "You did as you were told, and it blesses me." So when you do what he tells you to do, even if there's no fruit, he's looking at your heart. How many of you can relate to what I'm talking about? Okay, think about what I'm saying to you. If you do your best and you honor him with your obedience, how much more can he trust you with? Because each time you get a little more instructions, he'll test you and stretch you. Yep. Yes. Amen?
Amen.
So, Father, I thank you tonight that this word is for these that are here and for those who listen, that they will be blessed by this word, that they will be honored to receive instructions from the Holy Spirit, and then to glorify the Most High God. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
Amen.